The ticks are out in Wellfleet this year. At the Sven Bed and Breakfast, innkeeper Alexandra Grabe says that collectively, her and her husband have been bitten 5 times.
Just the other day, in a room where a child had been sleeping, I found a tick on his sheet. And I immediately, you know, contacted his parents and said, you need to keep an eye out, you know, in case he was bitten. They're like indestructible. They're horrible.
The inn is set back in the woods next to Old King's Highway, a scenic unpaved road that dates back to the colonial days. It's just a few miles to the seashore, but sometimes guests are so horrified by the presence of ticks that they flee. Grabe describes one family who found 2 ticks in a cottage.
And these guests from England had a small child, a toddler, and they were terrified, and they actually left 3 days early because of the ticks.
Grabe says she sees more ticks this year than last, and she attributes that to the weather. But ecologists now know that the abundance of small mammals such as mice, shrews, and chipmunks are what really determine whether young, disease-infected ticks prosper or die. But for ticks, blood meals appear to be catch-as-catch-can, and they'll just as readily latch on to a passing ground bird as a mouse. In fact, when it comes to long-distance travel, the birds are the tick's most reliable form of transportation.
Wow.
Ornithologist Vern Locks points to the skies above the Linda Loring Nature Foundation on Nantucket at a pair of bomb-diving osprey.
The osprey's calling away. She says, I don't care about ticks.
Nantucket is directly along one of the world's most significant migratory pathways for birds. It also has a significant tick problem.
Apparently birds are, in fact, one of the ways that this moves around.
Locks has scientific colleagues who have studied the correlation between tick movements and bird migrations.
The ticks hang onto the birds' heads, and, well, if these ospreys are going to South America for the winter, the towhees, the yellow warbler that we saw just crossing the road a little while ago, most of these birds are also going to Central or South America for the winter. And if there's ticks on their heads, you know, they'll travel along with them.
Research shows that birds can carry ticks great distances during migrations, usually on the bird's head, which are difficult to groom. After taking blood for a few days, the ticks fall off the birds and into their new home. In fact, that's the working theory regarding how a new species of tick came to arrive on Cape Cod from the southern and western United States.
The Lone Star tick.
That's Brenda Bolin, a retired biology professor and chairman of the Cape and Islands Lyme Disease Task Force.
The first Lone Star tick on the Cape was actually found here in Truro. It was found in a campground. And we learned about this tick because the camper realized there was something interesting and took it to a ranger in the national park.
Since it first was identified on Cape Cod about 6 years ago, reports have become more frequent.
The following year, a Lone Star tick was found in Wellfleet on the bay side where no people were. So presumably that tick had been delivered by some natural bird or whatever brought in. And then after that, a few ticks were found in Sandwich. And I had a dog picking them up in Truro.
Ticks have different techniques for finding hosts, and the Lone Star is the ultimate tick predator. It sees its prey and hunts it down. The local black-legged ticks, more commonly called deer ticks, are more opportunistic. They wait on grasses and leaves along the forest floor for different mammals to come along. Adult black-legged ticks rarely are found on mice. Research shows they climb higher up from the forest floor than young nymphs and larvae, perhaps seeking larger prey such as deer, raccoons, dogs, or horses. Black-legged ticks, the ones that carry Lyme disease, can sense carbon dioxide changes. So when a horse comes heavy breathing down the path, the tick raises its front pair of barbed arms like it's signaling a touchdown, and it waits for the horse to brush against it.
Now, dear.
Megan Amsler is regularly picking ticks off her horses in Falmouth. One of her older horses, Nazir, recently came down with Lyme disease, as have other local horses she knows about.
I had the vet come out, and she did a test on him and said, oh yeah, this poor guy, he's basically, his skin is crawling. You know, that's what it feels like to him, is that his skin is crawling.
2,300 miles away from Cape Cod, at the Western College of Veterinary Medicine in Saskatchewan, Canada, Associate Professor Katerina Lohman says she's trying to get ahead of the arrival of tick-borne diseases there. She recently began a study collecting horse blood samples from diagnostic labs to test them for anaplasmosis and Lyme.
So I got interested in this based on a case, basically. In the fall of 2010, I received a phone call from a veterinarian who was looking at a horse that was just kind of lethargic, and it looked a little bit jaundiced, and so she had sent in some blood, and they informed her from the lab that this horse had anaplasmosis. She was very surprised about that finding, as was I.
Lohmann says she knows of the one horse and a few local dogs in the region who've been infected, which is a surprise because anaplasmosis has never been seen in this part of the world before.
In Canada, to my knowledge, at this point, there's very few areas where we have established tick populations of these specific ticks, which are called black-legged ticks that carry the diseases that we're interested in specifically. And there shouldn't be any populations in Saskatchewan that we know of.
Just because a tick travels to a far-flung area of the world on the head of a bird doesn't mean it'll find itself in a habitat suitable for its needs. But Lohmann says there are scientific papers predicting how tick habitats are expanding north and west because of climate change.
You know, if over time this changes, at least we have some information of where things are now.
The tick problem can't be attributed solely to migrating birds. If you blame the birds, you have to blame the mice. And then you have to blame the sugar maples and the oak trees that feed the mice. There's a lot of blame to go around. Ticks are free of Lyme disease when they hatch, and it takes an entire ecosystem of plants and animals to determine the tick's survival and whether or not it will become infected with disease. For WCAI, I'm Sean Corcoran.